For most people, nothing big comes to their mind. Do you understand what I'm saying? Nothing really heavy comes to their mind. They're just like, okay, it's the normal thing everybody says. God loves me. You know why it's like that? That statement has not become substance to them. And so they are going to face challenges and they will face experiences that what was in their heart will begin to manifest in their life. After a while, you will see people saying things like, have you ever seen Christians go through a tough time and you are like, they begin to say things like this. Are you even sure God loves me? Or, let me tell you the common one. They fall into a sin. And they feel bad legitimately because of what they've done. Of course, that's a good sign that their conscience is alive. But some of them, they sorrow to the point where they begin to question everything that they believe about God. Some will start saying, what if God has written me off? And now I'm not trying to support sinfulness. But when you get to the point where you are now questioning God's love for you, that means you never really believe that he really loved you. You believe it was all about your performance. Are you with me? Are you with me? Say after me, faith in the love of God. I want to ask you, don't want Samuel, just think about it. Do you really believe that God loves you? Do you really believe? Has he really settled on you that God loves you? If it has not, this sermon is for you. Are you with me? And even if you already know, this sermon will strengthen what you already know. Are you with me? It will strengthen it. Like I said, it looks like a simple topic. Love roots. Established in the love of God. Say after me, in this service, I will be established in the love of God. Say it again, in this service, I will be established in the love of God. You know, when I want to teach things like this that look very simple, there's an analogy I use. Have you ever thought about what makes a bone strong? What makes your bone strong? Calcium, right? Where is calcium found? What food or class of food will give you calcium? Salt? Milk? Okay, when you eat bones. But let's look at the things that give you calcium. Milk. Does milk look like anything powerful? But that's the thing that will make your bones strong. Are you following me? The very structure of your bones. You know, the bone is what holds. See, if anything happens to your bone, you are finished too. What gives you structure is the way your bones are. That strong thing is milk that is giving you power. I will show you a text of the Bible. Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3. From verse 14. It says, for this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Okay, I think I was too fast. Let me start from verse 14 again. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he will grant you, according to the riches of his glory. Please, are you seeing it? Or I'm on my own? Okay, since I didn't hear your voices, let us read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he will grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, being rooted and grounded in love. Now, pause. Before you read this verse or this group of verses and miss the point, you need to understand that what he's writing here is a prayer, right? He says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it's a prayer. He was praying that he will grant you according to the riches of his glory, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, dead and grounded in love. Are you seeing this? So how will you receive strength from the Spirit in your inner man? That you'll be rooted and grounded where? In? Are you following depth and height? Verse 19. Everybody, verse 19 with me. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye... Read it one more time. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Glory. What's he saying here? And to know, the Greek word there is epignosis, meaning, and to have revelation of the love of Christ, which gnosis, which passeth human understanding, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. So according to that verse, he's saying, the way you will be filled with the fullness of God is when you know the love of Christ. The way you will be filled with the fullness of God is when you know the love of Christ that passeth knowledge. Are you with me? Let me tell you something. Understand and master the revelation of Christ's love to you. There is nothing you cannot do. See, your faith will be at an all-time high. People will be wondering, what really is powering this person's faith? Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Oh, my God. Father, they understand and they get it in Jesus' name. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth with all the fullness of God. I'm tempted to do this. You know what? If you are at the back and you are not taking care of a child, and you are not in Nexus, and you are not in security, please come to this first row. In Jesus' name. Amen. The love of Christ which passeth knowledge. So as it were, Paul is trying to tell us that this prayer I'm praying for the Ephesian church, if you get it, there is a way your spiritual life will be. Let me tell you something. When you sit after some years in their walk with the Lord, the way they respond to spiritual things, the way they respond to challenges, a lot has to do with how much they understand Christ's love for them. So, there are three basic teachings on love, generally, in the Bible. Three basic. There are more, but let me tell you the basics. Number one, God is love. Number two, God loves man. And number three, man, therefore, must love. I will say it again. Number one, God is love. Number two, God loves man. Number three, man, therefore, must love. However, for today, I'm going to focus on one and two. God is love, and God loves you. God is love and God loves me. Can you say after me, God is love and God loves me? Let's do a brief commentary of 1 John chapter 4 from verse 7 to 10. 1 John chapter 4 from verse 7. It says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. He's saying this idea of love is not man that originated it. Let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. This whole idea of love, it came from God. Verse 8, it says, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Are you seeing this? He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Verse 9, towards us, because that the world, that we might live through him. Glory.
Glory!
And then in verse 10, it says, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Glory.
Glory!
Now, look at verse 9 again. I want to show you something. It says, in this was manifested the love only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Do you know what that means? In other words, you can say it like this. This was how God demonstrated that he loved the world. He says, in this was manifested the love of God, that he sent his only begotten son, that through him we might live. You know, that popular verse we quote, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Do you know he's saying the same thing here? It's just that when we quote it in reference to intensity. We say it like this, for God so loved the world. Of course, God's love for us is intense. But what he was trying to say is, for God so loved. This was how he showed that he loved the world. Are you getting me? For God so loved the world. How did he love the world? That he gave his only begotten son. Are you with me? Now, whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. So that's what he's saying in verse 9. In this was manifested the love of God towards us. This was how he demonstrated that he loved the world, that he loves us, that he sent his only begotten son into the world that we might live through him. Let me tell you something. Number one, don't fall for the trap of minimizing this. I know you've heard it a lot. He sent his only begotten son that we might live through him. He sent his son. Don't fall for that trap of commonizing this. Are you with me? Are you with me? He says, God sent his son that we might live through him. His only begotten son. Let me explain only begotten. See, I know that we are also sons of God. But when the Bible says the only begotten son, he's saying that Jesus is in a class of sonship that no other person will ever be forever. Are you with me? So, even though we believe in Jesus, okay, let me explain sonship a little bit. Sonship in the Bible can mean different things. So, sonship in the Bible can mean representatives of God. So angels, in this sense, can be called sons of God. You see Genesis chapter 6, and the sons of God came and had sexual relations with the daughters of men, and they produced giants. So in that sense, angels are sons of God because they represented God. That's one. Number two, son of God can represent not born of natural origin. So if you check Luke chapter 3, it will tell you that Adam was the son of God. Are you with me? Because Adam had no natural father and mother. In this same way, Jesus also is the son of God. In the same way of representing God, Jesus is the son of God. Are you with me? Son of God can actually also refer to those who have received the Spirit of God. That's where we come in. Are you with me? And son of God can represent God in the flesh. Are you with me? The Bible says in John chapter 1 from verse 18, it says, no man has seen God at any time, but his only begotten son who is in the bosom of the Father. Meaning, Jesus Christ as the son of God was a personality that encapsulated the Father in such a way that no other creature can encapsulate. Yes, so God sent that part of him to the world to die. Are you with me? That's a huge risk there. Are you following me? Yes, it may look simple, but you need to consider how difficult this can be. Let me think of some examples. For instance, in your body, you have only one liver. And now, the liver is the largest internal organ in the human body. And you can actually cut a part of your liver to help somebody in need. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
And it can grow back. But it's not something you do carelessly. Are you following me? It can grow back, but when you cut the liver to help somebody else in need, you can call it, it's called liver transplant. You've heard of things like that, right?
Yes, sir.
There can be complications. There are so many things that can go wrong. Even though it is possible, even though you can do it to help somebody else, but there are so many pros and cons to it that you have to be very careful. Are you following me?
Yes,
So now, imagine you had to donate your liver to somebody. Who will you do it for? Whoever you will give your liver to and go through the stress of having your liver grow has to be somebody you really love. And not just even someone you really love, it was the person might also have to fall under somebody who is really deserving of it. Are you getting me? The person might also have to fall under someone who you believe, this guy, because of what he has done, no, this guy deserves this thing. No. Are you with me? For you to risk your liver that much, this person has to be very dear to your heart and has to be somebody that means a lot to you, that probably is very deserving of such a huge sacrifice. Now, that's a lame example compared to God. Are you with me? Yes, bringing out his only begotten son to die for you. Oh, are you with me? That means you must mean a very big deal to God. In economics, there is something called opportunity cost. Opportunity cost is what you are willing to lose to gain something of usually greater value. My God. What you are willing to lose. So, for instance, opportunity cost is saying you have 5,000 naira. You want to spend your 5,000 naira. Which is more important? Food or airtime? Food. Some people, they have a covenant with their stomach. You cannot go a day without food. They can give up anything to get food. Are you with me? For some people, you see that data on their phone. Airtel says data is life. For some people, data is actually life. Some people don't mind losing their 5K to getting data. You need to ask yourself, what was God willing to lose to get me? God was willing to sacrifice his only begotten son. Are you with me? As it were, only one liver. He was willing to cut it. Ah, my God. Just to see that you live. So what do you really mean to God? Do you think you are just a spoon? You know, some people say, have you heard people say things like that? We are pencils in the hand of the Creator. I'm more than a pencil. Are you with me? And now, back to our example, if you had to lose your liver or cut your liver to save someone, I said it will be someone you love so much, and secondly, it might be someone who is deserving of it, but just come and see what God did for us. Let me read something to you. John 4 from verse 7 to 10, or let me read from verse 9 to 10. It says, in this, the love of God was manifested towards us. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten son into the world that we might live through him. Verse 10. Everybody read verse 10 with me with a very loud voice. 1, 2, 3, go. Hearing his love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Hey! Not that we loved God. How can you give your liver to someone who does not care about you? Not that we love God. Not that we love God. Not that we love God. But that he first loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation. What is propitiation? It is payment to appease. As it were, it's like there was a wrath against us. There was some anger. There was some judgment against us. And he knew the only way to quench that. Are you with me? To quench that judgment. To quench that wrath against us was to shed the life of his son. See, never you say again in your life, God does not love me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Hearing is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be a propitiation, to be the propitiation for our sins, to be the payment, to be the payment to appease the wrath of God, to appease the judgment against us. Are you with me? So that means he did not respond to our plight because of anything we did, but simply because he loved us. Say after me, God loves me. I want you to say it again, God loves me. Say it again, God loves me. Close your eyes and say it with conviction, God loves me. You missed a place to shout glory. So this means that Christ's work in redemption is an everlasting seal to all humanity that God loves us. Christ's work in redemption is a seal upon us forever. So whenever you want to doubt God's love, God will say, you are still doubting. See what I did. Are you with me? Are you still doubting me after all I did? It's just like a parent. Maybe she had to sacrifice a whole chunk of her liver for the child. And then the child grows up and say, Mommy, you don't care about me. I know you never cared about me. And the mother will look at you and say, you that you would have died 15 years ago if not for my sacrifice. Are you with me? That sacrifice is an eternal statement that I care for you. Are you getting what I'm saying? And even though that example is still lame compared to this, now think about it. You were not even deserving of it. Not that we loved God, don't forget that. You were not even deserving of it. At that time, as well as at the time when he did it, you were not deserving of it. How much more now that you are even trying? You know, some people, they don't wake up in the morning because they did not read their Bible and pray, or something happened and something just happened. They just feel, no. Now, it's important you read your Bible and pray. And I'm going to show you where that comes in this teaching. Are you with me? You know, some people, they even believe, remember, who has believed that I was not able to pray for 10 hours in a day, or I was not able to pray for the 4 hours in my morning devotion. You know, some people are like that, that in the year 2026, every morning, I would speak in tongues for 4 hours in the morning. Then one day, you spoke in tongues for 30 minutes, and then on your way to the office, something bad happens. When you don't understand the love of God, your mind will start telling you, you see now, it's because you did not pray long enough. That is why, are you with me? Your mindset. Maybe you meet somebody who is sick. If it was when you prayed in the house, you feel bold to lay hands on the person. Now, you look at the person, power, no deal. God is not with me today. You see, you are basing how God is with you based on how you feel. Are you with me? After me, God loves me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And this is the exact teaching of Romans 5, verse 6 to 8. Romans 5, from verse 6 to 8 in King James says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Glory. Verse 7, it says, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet for adventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us. Are you seeing this again? That while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Let's read it in NLT. The way you people respond is like, are you getting what I'm saying at all? So after me, Christ died for me. Therefore, God loves me. Glory!
Kayode, you know what? Before I finish, continue this battle, I said, come and play. Let me sing something. Can you put it in NLT? Let's see what NLT says.
You're a good, good father. Who you are. It's who you are.
At just the right time. At just the right time. And died for us sinners. You need to shout that glory very well. It says, now most people would not be willing to die for an upright person. You know, thank God for NLT. You are sharing it in something that is, you know, Kenyans will be confusing you. Scarcely will a righteous man, scarcely. He says, now most people would not be willing to die for an upright person. Though someone might perhaps be willing to try for a person who is especially good. So, when you see someone even try, even dare to try to die for a person, that means this person must be very good. Are you with me? He's saying that the sacrifice that was done for you, is something that nobody will even dare to do for you. See, God forbid you were kidnapped by ritualists. And when they came to save you, when your family came to rescue you and they knew the place, the ritualist told them the only way they will release you is that somebody in your family else will die. Can you imagine that kind of situation? He says, for scarcely. See me and King James. I don't know. We have a covenant. See, verse 7, it says, now most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. Verse 8, but God showed his great love. Are you with me? He showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were yet sinners. Don't remove that. Oh my God. The way people are responding to me. While I was yet a sinner, he sent Christ to die for me. How much more that I am in him?
By you, who I am.
Praise the Lord.
You're a good, good father. Who you are, who you are, who you are, and I'm loved by you. Who I am, who I am.
Let me say one more thing. When we say Christ died for the ungodly, while we were yet sinners, do you know the risk involved? What if the sinners do not even understand the sacrifice and ignore it? What if they don't respond? What if they don't say thank you? That means he did not do it. Ah, my God. With complete assurance that the person that he's doing it for will thank him. There are still some people today who, when you are preaching to them about what Christ has done for them and giving them eternal life, they're like, did I send him? Are you following me? What's my? I'm preaching to people that they told me what's my business. Did I ask him to die for me? There are still some people that would rather die than receive the sacrifice of Christ, yet he did it anyway. Are you with me? What kind of love is this of? Tell them God loves me. When you understand this, your view to everything will change. You know? One of the major differences between Christianity and other religions, in Christianity, it is all about what God has done to man and man's response to God. In other religions, it is all about what you can do to save yourself. They just keep telling you what you can do, what you can do, what you can do. Are you with me? It's all about what you can do. All about your own strength, all about your own skill, all about your own wisdom. Are you following me? Are you with me? You know, in Islam, I've said it publicly. They will say your good works and evil works will be weighed. It's all about you. And if your good does not outweigh your bad,
But in our own, it's all about what he has done. I know some of you may not understand. Wait still when I teach about assurance of salvation. See, the worst thing that can happen to someone, you die, you leave this world, you don't know Jesus, you did not encounter him, you were not saved. It's called eternal sliding. You slide yourself for eternity. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love. Say after me, great love. So what is my response to this overwhelming love of God? Number one, you have radical faith. Radical faith. Romans chapter 8 from verse 31. Romans 8. Romans 8 from verse 31. Now, the context of Romans 8, he was talking about what Christ has done and what we have because of what Christ has done. So you see verse 30, it says, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he justified, and whom he justified, them also he glorified. Glory! So as it were, he's telling you that in Christ Jesus, you have received justification. You have received, are you with me? You have been called into justification. You have been called into glorification. As it were, he's telling you that you have come into this reality that Christ has brought. And then he says in verse 31, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? If I've been showered with love like this, who can be against me? If God is on my side this much, who can really be against me? What can really be against me? And now, the basis on which he said, who can be against us? If God be for us, who can be against us? You will see it in verse 32. What's the basis? He says, he that spared not his own son. Are you seeing this again? Are you saying that he's coming back to the sacrifice of Christ as the anchor for which to... Are you with me? As the reason why nobody can be against you. So, according to this verse, he's saying that the demonstration of love of God towards you is the basis on which nobody can be against you. Tell me, I'm loved by God. Nothing can successfully work against me. Nothing can successfully work against me. I am loved by God. I am loved by God. I am loved by God. Glory! He says in verse 32, he that spared not his own son but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not? Check your life. No matter how tough things were, you are here. You have come this far. With all the battles that you faced, Somehow, God has helped you. Are you with me? After me, I'm loved by God. If he has brought me this far, how much more the future? Can you say after me, my future is secure in the love of God? Now, look at the way the apostles were talking. He says, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who goes that man? Who goes that man? God him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Then it says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies it. Then it says in verse 34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God? Who also maketh intercession for us. That means his work has transcended beyond here. Even right now, he's still praying for you. Are you with me? And then he goes to verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Then it says in verse 37. This one, don't read it if you are not going to rejoice. If you're not going to rejoice, just close your mouth. But if you're going to read it with me, make sure you shout a loud glory. Are you with me? One, two, three, go. He says, nay, In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. It doesn't matter what you are going through right now. He says, through him that loved you, you are more than a conqueror. Through him that loved you, you are more than a conqueror. I know you have been going through a trying time. I know 2024 was rough. 2025 was rougher. You came into 2026 wondering how will it be, but don't worry. Through him that loved you, you are more than a conqueror. Are you with me? Sometimes I am more than a conqueror. I am more than a conqueror. Glory! It says, nay, in all these things. So, no matter what you face, you will learn to tell yourself, in all these things, I am more than a conqueror. No matter what is happening, you need to realize that there is someone that loves you so much that has given you backing. You have his backing. Are you with me? Then he says in verse 38, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. No matter how big it wants to be, are you with me? I am more than a conqueror. I will find my way out. No matter the challenge in the wilderness, can you declare with me? No matter the challenge in the wilderness, no matter the setback, I will find my way out. No matter what I face, I will always win. Glory. Because I am loved by him. I'm loved by God. When you understand this, you will discover that you are not the one on your own trying to navigate life alone. All those statements that people say, you cannot say them again, now only you come. No, 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 no. He says, when you were in your mother's womb, I knew thee. Remember, I knew thee. Alone. I am not alone. You will stop saying all those rubbish. Nobody is coming to save you. Eh? Me. In bracket, you can write love and devotion for Christ. In bracket, you can write love and devotion for Christ. Radical followership Christ. Radical followership. Love and devotion. Love and devotion for Christ. 1 John chapter 4 from verse 19. It says, we love him because he first loved us. Do you see that? We love him because he first loved us. We love him because he first loved us. So God believes that it is the power of his love that will command followership. Are you with me? God believes that it is a deep understanding of what he has done for you that will command your followership to him. See, the more you see how much he has loved you, the more you will love him. And the more you love him, the more you will serve him. Let me tell you, your worship is a proof of your revelation of his love for you. When people are in church, worship is just, for instance, we are singing this song now. You're a good, good father, is who you are. Some people, they will never move their hand. You know why? It doesn't mean a big deal to them. In church, when people are really lifting their hand to worship God, because they don't know, they have not really comprehended how much was done for them. Are you getting me? The reason why prayer, Bible study, the things of God is not yet interesting to you is because you don't understand how much was done for you. The one that died to rescue you, don't you think that anything he's saying is in your best interest? Don't you think that spending more time with him will make sense? Are you with me? The one that rescued you and made the ultimate sacrifice for you. Ah, my God. No wonder 2 Corinthians 5 verse 14, it says, for the love of Christ constrains us. Actually, in New King James, it says, for the love of Christ compels us. The love of Christ is our driving force. That's what is moving us. See, when you understand how much he has loved you, how much he sacrificed for you, what can I not give to him? What can I not do for him? Are you with me? Anytime your devotion is dropping, it's because your love is dropping. And if your love is dropping, your understanding of his love for you is dropping. Are you with me? Who I am, who I am, who I am. You're a good, good father. Who you are, who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. Who I am, who I am, it's who I am. Are you with me? Let me show you something. Hebrews 11 verse 17. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Verse 19, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. What's going on here? He's saying that the reason why Abraham was able to surrender Isaac when God asked him was because he has calculated that if God can give me Isaac, that was the fuel. Are you with me? That was the energy that propelled him to sacrifice that much. The reason why you are struggling with sacrifice for God is because you think God will slay you. Oh, you think that he will tell you to sacrifice to him and will abandon you there. Abraham was able to sacrifice Isaac because he understood this God that gave me Isaac loves me too much. He cannot ask me for Isaac and leave me halfway. He cannot tell me to seek him and seek him in vain. Are you with me? He cannot tell me to pray and seek him and read the Bible and serve him. And after everything, he will just leave me in vain. No. Have you seen the Lord fail? No, no, no. No, 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 no. I thought he would even praise the Lord. He cannot ask me to sacrifice to him and leave me halfway. He has not called the seed of Jacob to seek him in vain. So, understanding of love will propel radical followership. When you see people that are really sold out to God, there is a way they understand his love that you have not yet understood. Going forward, when you worship, you stop worshiping like this. You're a good, good father. You know, because some people still reject God's love. Some people still reject God's love. They reject it. But by the time you walk with God long enough, you will discover that, the best thing that can happen to you is to be fully devoted to him. I'm telling you, you will think that he has not given me times 100. There is nothing I did. Are you with me? Are you with me? He loves you too much. Sometimes God will tell people, go this way. And to them, they believe God just wants to make my life tight. He just wants to make my life. See, even your response to his correction is based on your understanding of his love. You will think, if you don't understand his love, you will think he wants to tighten your life and make your life worthless. No, he has planned for you more than you can ever plan for yourself. Amen. Oh, Jesus. You know, in Luke chapter 7, there was a woman that came and broke her alabaster box, which had a year's wages, meaning salary for 1 year. She put it together and bought that costly perfume and poured the perfume upon the leg of Jesus and was using her hair to clean
the leg of Jesus, and she was also crying. Actually, she was in sin, and Jesus had cast out demons from her and forgiven her and all of that. And then the Pharisees that were there, they said, if Jesus was truly a prophet, he would have known that this woman is a sinner. And if you read that story, I would have read it, but Bible is sweet, though. I would have read it. So when Jesus, the Bible says, when he perceived their thoughts, you know what he said? He looked at his disciples, Simon. He knew that the Pharisees were there, but he pretended like he was not talking to them. And he began to talk to Simon, to the hearing of the Pharisees. He said, Simon, I have something to say unto thee. Simon said, say on. Are you with me? Simon said, say on. He said, there were two people that owed their master money. One owed 10,000. One owed 100. And the master frankly forgave them both. Who do you think we love more? Then Simon said, I suppose the one that was forgiven more. He says, this woman, she has been forgiven of much, for she was a sinner. Therefore, she will love much. He said, but the Pharisees, they don't see themselves even as sinners. They see themselves as self-righteous people, so they will not love much. And I says, and now, your sins are forgiven. Are you with me? Do you know what Jesus was saying there? The one that has seen that he was forgiven much is the one that will love much. The one that sees the extent of the sacrifice done for him is the one that will devote himself more. Now, think about it. He gave his life to save you. Is it your sins he will not forgive? Are you with me? After me, I'm loved by God. And number three, our response is radical family. Meaning this is our love towards the brethren and even those who are not even in Christ. We're going to talk about this later. You know, this is the part that is very tough. And even me, your pastor, I'm still learning it. 1 John 4, from verse 11. It says, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. He says, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Meaning, he's saying that we ought to love one another the same way God loved us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That means the strength of our love will be tested on the undeserving. The people that least deserve our love are the ones that we are supposed to show the most love. Are you with me? The strength of our love work will be seen on how we treat the people that we deem as undeserving. Jump on your feet. Say after me, I'm loved by God. In all these things, I am more than a conqueror. Through him that loved me. My future is secure in the love of God. My future is secure in the love of God. Can we pray right now? Pray in the spirit. Zata kapala tu seketelia. Shembraka sata palaka setetelia. Shekabaragada dege sepeletelia. Shebrata kabala kapasatelia. I am loved by God. Raise your hands and tell the Lord, I celebrate your love for me. I believe in your love for me. I believe in your love for me. Asarapateleke ponda kasheketelia. I believe in your love for me.
Who I am, you're a good, good father. Who you are, and I'm loved by you. Who I am, you're a good, good father. and I'm loved by you.
Who I am.
Who I am. After me, if God be for me, what can be against me? God is for me, nothing can successfully work against me. God is for me, God loves me, God believes in me, God loves me, God believes in me, God has a plan for me. I am rooted in the love of God. I am established in the love of God. He spared not his own son for me. I want you to say this with me. He spared not his own son for me. How shall he not also give me all things? How shall he not also open all doors for me? God is for me. God is for me. I am more than a conqueror through him that loved me. I am more than a conqueror through him that loved me. I am more than a conqueror through him that loved me. You know, one time the Lord said to me, even the people you don't like, I have good plans for them. Hey, Jesus. Even the people that you have written off, I have good plans for them. Because he did not die for few, he died for all. Are you with me? It's after me. God loves me. And so, this one, you may be hard for you to say, but you will say it because it's my own training. I want you to come into it. It's after me in the name of Jesus. There will be nobody that I cannot love. Say it again in the name of Jesus. As my father is, so I am. I am a man and a woman of love. Amen. Say it again. There is nobody I cannot love. One more time. Can you say this one? I am more than a conqueror. In all these things, I am more than a conqueror through him that loves me. Through him that loves me. Glory! 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 Glory!
Thank you, Lord.
When you understand that the king loves you, when he gives you instructions, you will obey. When he gives you a leading, hidden within that leading is his love for you. Are you with me? So in his directions and in his guidance, in his leadings, in his instructions, he has the best of plans for you. Are you with me?
Amen. Can you say after me, we disciple all nations unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. For in Christ, we are God's new breed. We are loved by God. For in Christ, we are God's new breed. Glory! Say after me, my love is rooted.